There's a verse in Acts 12, and it's when Peter, he gets released out of prison, and he's knocking at the door of the house church where they're praying for him to be released, and they can't believe it, and they say something really bizarre. They say, maybe it's his angel. In the New Testament church, people saw angels so prevalently that instead of it being the answer to the prayer that they were praying, they actually thought it was his angel. And I think we've lost that, particularly as Americans. We have lost our wonder and we've lost our childlikeness, and the kingdom of God is full of it. And so if I want to be aligned with that kingdom, I need to have a heart of wonder, and I need to be open to have the same experiences that the people in the Bible have had. And so that would be my baseline for anyone who's questioning this stuff. I see more healings because I see the demonic on people and release them from the demonic than I see healings that are like natural things that I pray and they get healed. I see both, but it's mainly I see in the spirit realm of where the enemy is trying to torment them, and I'm able to bind that and cast it off so that the person's no longer tormented. So we have a pretty documented history of people being healed in our ministry.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost, to the Light in the Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody. This is normally the part of the show where we would put a really silly sticker bit, but we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to tell you for a donation of any amount, we'll send one right to your front door. And if you want five, count them five, Corey.
Well, if you want five, count them five, count them five, count them five, count them five stickers, you can give a donation of $50 or more, and we will send those stickers right to your door. And you can give that donation and receive that sticker by going to litpod.com/support or by clicking the support the show link down in the show notes and giving a donation of absolutely any amount. And why, dear listeners, would we speed past the sticker plug so quickly?
Oh, we did something. Yes, we did. We started a Patreon. Now, I know what you're asking yourself. Patreon, that sounds cool. What is it? Great question. Corey, what is a Patreon and why does it matter?
Well, Patreon is a platform that digital creators use to create subscriptions so that their listeners or supporters can give them monthly support. That way they can just set up a donation on a monthly schedule that they don't have to think about going to litdpod.com/support and donating multiple times. You just set it up once and it kind of just keeps going and going and going and going like that little annoying pink bunny. But in this case, you're supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Light in the Darkness podcast. Now, we will be working on some different benefits and bonuses for our Light in the Darkness subscribers. But just to start, we have an announcement to make. Danny, what did we just finish doing?
Guys, we just recorded a phenomenal episode with none other than Dark Waters, and if that's not enough for you, Vicky Joy Anderson in a round table setting.
Daniel, you're crazy. You're crazy. You got Vicky Joy Anderson, author of They Only Come Out at Night and Dark Waters of YouTube infamy, in the same room?
Chat room, kind of virtual setting.
Metaphorically speaking.
But yes, and here's the thing, guys. This isn't one of those episodes where, you know, we get to know everybody. You already know them. We hit the ground running. We take on, the topic of spiritual warfare. The content that's coming your way, you're not ready for. It is amazing. This is a whole bag, a whole arsenal. Guys, you want this in your life. Trust me. And we'll give you a little bit of it for free right there in the old download section. But if you want the rest, Corey, how do they get on that Patreon again?
Well, you can go to Patreon, that's Patreon.com/LITDP. TDPod. You can subscribe. Our base level starts at just a measly $7 a month. Yeah.
Affordable.
That link is also down in the show notes for you. And we have a couple of other tiers just for those who want to give a little bit of extra cheese on that Whopper to us, just to help support us and let us know that you love us and help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ by doing what we do here best, talking about him and singing his praises.
And who doesn't love cheese on a Whopper, might I add?
I do.
Why do they even ask that question at the drive-thru? But moving on.
Better than a Big Mac.
Yeah. Is that even like a debate?
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it is in some circles.
Not in this one.
Not in this one.
Whopper, baby. Now, speaking of things we love, guys, we are going to introduce you to someone tonight who you are going to love. That someone is Angela. Angela sees angels. Corey, break it down.
Well, Angela comes to us and she shares about her experiences in the seer realm. Now, that may sound a little intimidating, but there is a unseen realm all around us. We talk about it all the time on this podcast, the spirit realm. It is more real than this physical reality that I'm interacting in right now, talking into a microphone. Around us are all kinds of spiritual forces just beyond where the human eye can see. Well, Angela has spent years developing her spiritual sense of sight so that she can pick up on and see what the Lord wants her to see in the seer realm. And one thing I've noticed with most people who start seeing into the other realm, the spiritual realm, is that they start seeing angels. So Angela has a slew of stories for us of angelic encounters, as well as just telling us how she began developing her sense of spiritual sight. This, my dear friends, is a absolute masterpiece of an interview, not because of us, but because of Jesus in Angela. So it is time for us to quit our yapping.
I'm in this now.
Yes, you're in this now. You were yapping. You were clearly yapping.
Yap, 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 yap. All right, there you go. Shut it down.
Without further ado, let's get to it.
And we here at Light in the Darkness would like to introduce you, dear listeners, and welcome to the show, our new, dear, wonderful friend, Angela. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, hello. So excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. Now, we are going to get down to business, and we are fans of tradition. And so we're going to go back to the very beginning, because that's a very fine place to start. So would you please, for me, Corey, and the dear listeners, describe the spiritual atmosphere of the home you grew up in? Did people operate in the gifts? Did you go to church every Sunday? Or, flip side, did you have the occult showing up and crazy stuff? Either way, please take it away and paint that picture.
Sounds great. Yeah, so I actually grew up in a home where my mother was saved and my dad was not. We lived across the street from a little local church. It was non-denominational. And I learned the word there. And I will tell you what, I went to Awana's every Wednesday night, memorized scripture, and I loved it. I got all the big prizes at Awana's, you know. And it's funny because I'm currently getting my PhD in theology. So at a very early age, the Lord kind of showed me where my direction was going to be, because I love church. I loved singing to Jesus. My grandmother got married in Las Vegas when I was 3. And I guess the big hit of that ceremony was that in the middle of the ceremony, I walked up, started banging on the piano and started singing Jesus Loves Me. And so,
nice. That's awesome.
I grew up almost knowing the Lord almost, you know, I can't remember a time that I didn't know the Lord. I was intimately acquainted with him. And, you know, I have cerebral palsy, which affects the right side of my body. And I had a vision one time of Jesus coming between me and the umbilical cord that came around my neck and preventing it from squeezing harder than it did. So, you know, I have mild cerebral palsy. And I think what happened happened is in the womb, I just got to know Jesus really intimately. He and I were face to face. And so I always feel like I came out knowing him. And so about, 8 years old, I started getting very burdened about my own dad's salvation. He was, in the home with us, very supportive of our Christian faith, that my mom and I and my younger brother had, and us going to church on a very frequent basis. But he was a smoker and a drinker. And my mom tells me this story. She said, apparently, that I came up to him one day and said, "Daddy, I don't want you to go to hell." And that began his journey of coming to the Lord. And, my mom prayed for his salvation for years and years and years. And later she told me, she said, the week before your dad got radically saved, which he did, she said, "I had this concern." And she thought, "What if he gets saved and we end up as missionaries in Africa? I don't know if I can be a missionary in Africa."
Why is that everyone's fear? Why is that everyone's fear?
It's valid.
It can happen.
I know, right? I know. Well, sure enough, I was about 10. My dad got radically saved. And when I mean radical, it was like I went to bed one day and woke up with a different dad. And with his salvation came the desire to be on the mission field. And I'm going to date myself a little bit here, because when my dad wanted to go on the mission field, this was before YWAM, this was before short-term missions. And in order to go to the mission field in evangelical Christianity, which is where I was in, you had to have a 4-year Bible degree. And my dad was just radically saved. And so, our church was kind of, "Well, maybe you should, spend some time in the Word a little bit more," and that kind of thing. But my dad was completely convinced that the mission field needed him. And he was a blue collar worker, And so for about 6 months, my parents did a really exhaustive search around the world of trying to find a mission that we could just take off and go to without a 4-year Bible degree. And, we actually found, my dad ran into a friend of his who actually had a base down in Honduras. And, so within, I would say 18 months of my dad being radically saved, we were on the mission field. So I was about 14. I spent half of my high school years down in Honduras, and I just fell deeper in love with the Lord down there, because, the lifestyle's quieter, it's slower. And I just had just deep, intimate times with the Lord. And some of my favorite moments was just being on the floor in deep worship. And he would take me into heaven, and he would show me things in heaven. And at the time, I didn't think that this was uncommon. I just didn't know, I didn't know any better. No one pulled me aside and explained the theology behind it, or the lack of theology behind it, or whatever you want to call it. And so I was just having these deep, deep encounters. And I always laugh because I had a calling, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but my calling came when I was 11 years old. And it was during that time that my dad was looking for a place for us to be on the mission field. And I decided one summer that I was going to read through my Bible. And so the first day of summer, I'm 11 years old. I take my blanket out onto the, lower field and open up my Bible. Well, I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to read it, And so I opened it up to the middle, and it opened to Jeremiah chapter 1. And Jeremiah chapter 1 is Jeremiah's calling. And it says, "When you were in the womb, I knew you, and I called you and ordained you as a prophet to the nations." And all I know is that those words leapt off the page, went deep, deep, deep down into my spirit, scared me so bad as an 11-year-old who had never heard of a prophet before in modern day. So I thought this meant I was going to have to wear camel hair and eat locusts for the rest of my life. And so it scared me so bad that I slammed my Bible shut and didn't read it again for 2 more years. But
wow.
But, they say, there's a saying, there's no junior Holy Spirit. And And that really marked me. And so my those years of being down in Honduras, the Lord was training me as a prophet, and I didn't know it. You know, he was training me about what he had called me into, and that he was speaking to me about how important it is. My name's Angela, you know, it means messenger. And he said, you know, my maiden name before I was married was Wood, and which means land, you know, messenger to the land. And then I married a man whose last name is Mir, which in German means sea. So I feel called as a messenger to land and sea, you know, So, you know, prophets, the Lord is, I believe, calling more prophetic people than ever before. We are in the end times. It says in Joel that the Lord will pour out his spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And so, I believe that we are coming into the greatest prophetic age ever, because prophecy in Revelations, it says it's, you know, it is the testimony of Jesus Christ and the spirit of prophecy. So. Yeah. So that was kind of my childhood. That was my growing up years. You know, I was kind of a black sheep because I was in a conservative evangelical church and the Lord was training me to be a prophet. And, you know, that's kind of odd. but you know, they're out there. And in fact, I feel really called to the evangelical church, because I believe the next move of God is to not only charismatics, but the evangelicals. It's to everybody, right? Amen. The next move of God is for everybody. And I believe evangelicals are going to be excited to come into more of the fullness of what the Lord has for us. And I'm excited for us to learn more from evangelicals as well, as a charismatic myself. So,
Come on. Wow. How about that? You told your dad, I don't want you to go to hell.
And that's right.
Right on. You know what, somebody listening? Maybe you need to tell your dad that. Yeah. Just something to think and pray on. But in sticking with tradition, Angela, what was your very first spiritual encounter with the things of the Lord, being the supernatural for the show's purposes, or the paranormal, which is everything else? Yes. When was that first encounter?
Well, I'll say, you know, I was having lots of experiences that were for normal for me as a child. I would have to say it came at age three. At age three, I was diagnosed with, I guess they call these, what's the word for it? It's a certain type of nightmare, right?
Night terrors,
that's what they're called. Mm. Yeah. And, I was diagnosed with night terrors. My mom was, just besides herself. She didn't know what to do with me. I was having, horrific dreams that felt like they're real life. For years I had to sleep. In fact, I slept until my 20s when I was radically delivered of this fear with my hands under my pillow, because I would always have dreams of zombie hands coming out from under my pillow, grabbing my face. And, so from a very early age, the enemy knew that I was marked, that the Lord had called me. And this is true for so many people. Like so many people, the enemy sees the calling just as well as the Lord, you know. And so he tried to scare me, I think, away from my calling. That's really what I think it was all about. And I was just a horrible sleeper from that early age. And then when I was about 20, I began to be, I had a moment where I cried out to Jesus and I said, I need to be delivered from this. And I've never had a night terror since that time. So for decades now, the Lord has just delivered me from, night terrors. And I have a real, desire to see people be delivered from it, because it's very tormenting. And so, I believe that was the enemy. I believe the enemy was, trying to scare me away from what the Lord had called me to be and do. And, you know, here's the cool thing about it though, is that the Lord always repays, and, my fear of the Lord is significantly greater than my fear of the enemy. So that's the repayment that the Lord has given, you know, the enemy because of trying to do that to me. So
that's just so, it's so wild that the things and tactics the enemy uses against us once we gain freedom over them, the passion and some would say the anointing to like break those things off of other people. If more people would grab that and realize that there is like this like special faith that you have since you've been delivered from this, you know, the mm-hmm. Lord delivers people from this. You're now carrying that burden to see other people delivered from night terrors. If that happened more often, you would think the enemy would just throw in the towel on all those tactics. If people Absolutely. Would actually take up that mantle and go out there and start warring against these things that the enemy used to oppress them.
Come on. That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Some would call it weaponizing your testimony.
Have we?
Yeah.
We've never talked about that.
I don't think so.
But yeah, it's like you think, I always think of the enemy as like this terrible, terrible, evil talent agent. Like, and he goes after these people because he's like, oh yeah, they got it. I better shut this down now. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, listeners, that is something to really chew on right there. Are you losing sleep? Are you experiencing sleep paralysis? Are you having night terrors? The enemy's trying to rob you of something and he's trying to distract you. He's having you look over here because he doesn't want you to look at the things that God's instilled in you. But like Corey was saying, you get past that, you break that in Jesus' name, and the next thing you know, God is weaponizing that and using you to help set others free. Come on, Jesus.
Come on.
Have you seen many people you prayed for be delivered from night terrors?
Yes, I have. I have. I think one of my favorite ones is I prayed for an 8-year-old boy who was radically delivered. And, you know, come on. You know, it's tormenting. If you're as a child and the enemy is tormenting your night hours like that, I love seeing people delivered of it. And do you guys mind if I just pray for people right now to be delivered?
Come on.
Okay. So I just, would you guys just agree with me? If you have night terrors, just agree with me right now. Lord Jesus, we pray right now over the night hours and over people's sleep. And we say in Jesus' name that any enemy that is coming against them, any spirit that is coming against them to rob them of sleep and rob them of peace, we say right now in Jesus' name, be bound and cast out. And we say right now in Jesus' name, be free from night terrors, released into the liberty of your rest being peaceful and your dreams being fruitful for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go, Jesus.
Yes. Yay, God.
Awesome.
So you told us off recording what it is that you do now, but would you mind just letting the listeners know what your ministry looks like today?
Absolutely. So, you know, I started having, I guess I'll just kind of pick up because that's kind of where it starts off for me is, after high school, I went to seminary for a year and then the Lord just called me back into the mission field. So I was on the mission field for a little bit, but I really started having quite a few visions. And I just want to speak to people about this because, you know, the church isn't always great about letting people know that you can have visions, you can have prophecies, you can have these things, and they are considered biblical. And, you know, not everybody knows that. And I think, you know, for me, I didn't know that. And I started having these visions and I was looking for people to kind of help me understand what I was getting. And, luckily there was a church about a half an hour from me and in that church, I began to grow in the things of the spirit realm, right? And, we read about these in 1 Corinthians 14. It's all through the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, the supernatural works of the disciples, you know, and the supernatural acts that we can operate in as well. And, so people began to train me and educate me. I was a sponge. I was learning so quickly. And, that within a couple years, I started teaching it myself at the church there. And what happened is, over a couple of, you know, over some years, the Lord just began to develop my own prophetic voice, my own prophetic calling. And, you know, it began to be tested and tried through prayer and, you know, various things. And the Lord called me back into my hometown, and we have launched a prophetic community here in our hometown. So kind of different from a church. Our goal is to hear from the Lord and to pray into the region so our region can see revival. And so for years we've been doing that. We've been running a prophetic school. We have a mandate from the Lord. Actually, you guys know Bonnie Jones. Bob Jones prophesied over our region that there would be 1,000 prophets going to the nations. And so I had received an angelic visitation in which an angel said, who's going to steward these promises? And I always joke around and say to people, there was no one else in the room when this angel showed up. So. And so my husband and I, we've been stewarding these prophetic words over our region. Now, you know, some people get prophetic words personally, but these were prophetic words that were over a region that no one was stewarding. And this angel said to me, who's going to steward these words? And, you know, I think that's the important thing, is that sometimes there are prophetic words that need to be stewarded that you may not personally have received, but they could be over regions or spheres, right? Or mountains, some people will call them. And the Lord's looking for people to say yes to those prophetic words and fighting to see those prophetic words established. And so we established a prophetic school. We now have, in our fourth year, we go to, new nation every other year. We've been in Ireland and in Greece. We're going to the Philippines next year. And, we are just, when we go into these nations, we go in as not evangelistic, missionaries per se, but prophetic missionaries. We speak forth the words of the Lord into the territory so that the territory begins to become ripe for the things that God wants to do in the region. So, we've been going to Patmos, Greece, which of course is where John got the book of Revelation. And we've been pouring into that island. And then we've also been going to Ireland and creating incredible, beautiful relationships with the prophetic voice there in Ireland. So it's been really exciting. And our new venture is that we are helping people launch prophetic homes. And so out of their homes, they are praying and prophesying for revival in their region. And so we're really excited to bring this into people's homes throughout the world and for people to begin to pray for their regions, particularly to see the Lord get his reward in their region. So
hey, everybody, this is Daniel from Light in the Darkness podcast. Well, it's been a year and a half now, and we just wanted to say thanks. Really do appreciate you guys. I got a button. It's lighting up. Hey, Core? Core, you want to look at this? It's more the tech guy. All right. I'm going to hit it so it'll stop. You know what? I know what this is. I know why he's not here. He's out in the field. Which means I have to start up this antiquated equipment. Well, guys, I don't know what Corey's about to tell you, but he is in the field somewhere. And let me see if I can start this bad boy up and hear what he's got to say. I think it's a pull start. Yeah. It's been a while. Should be working out. Oh, a choke. Yeah, run, baby. All right, speaking of run. I'm going to go open a window so I don't get high off these gas fumes. And let's see if this thing can still do its job and send you out the core. Here he is!
This just in, folks. I've got late breaking news. Corey and Daniel have been working hard over this past year and a half to faithfully bring you amazing content on Light in the Darkness, and they have now made the decision to launch a Patreon channel. This will give you, the listener, an opportunity to subscribe with a monthly fee so that you can support the show. Now, what's in it for you, you may be asking, and that is a delightful, wonderful, and wise question. Well, Well, while the boys have many thoughts and ideas that would be very fun for their members, one thing they will be promising you is periodic members-only content, the first episode of which will be releasing on May the 1st, 2024. This episode will be a wonderful roundtable with two of your favorite former guests, Vicky Joy Anderson and Dark Waters James Williams, where they will be discussing with the boys the topic of spiritual warfare. And dear listener, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to get involved, but I simply must be running. I am going to pass it back to Daniel in the studio.
Oh, good. I got to shut this thing off. Man, tell you what, gas fumes will do it to you. But anyway, guys, if I think I heard that correctly, this is live now. Go sign up. First episode drops May 1st. You're going to love it. How do you sign up, you say? Well, you go to patreon.com/LITDpod. Too much? Thought so. It's down in the show notes. We made it nice and easy for you. We love you guys. And until next time, take care, y'all. Now, Angela, I'm going to have to back this up a little bit because yes. You said something really awesome and you ran right past it like it happens to everybody all the time. You mentioned that an angel showed up in the room. Now, I know that there are other people like me who are just like, and she just ran right by that. Now, would you please let us know, A,
yes,
I want to know what he looked or she looked like, and B, has this happened more than once? And if it has, please go into a story or two.
Sure, absolutely. So over the years, as my prophetic calling has been developing, the Lord has given me more ability to see into the spiritual realm. And, you know, I guess maybe just saying that I had a hunger to see into the spiritual realm. I had a hunger because I knew the kingdom of God was more real than the world we see around us. And I wanted to have, I had such a hunger for the Lord to show me how his kingdom was interacting with this world. And there was there's a verse in Acts. In fact, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. There's a verse in Acts 12, and it's when Peter gets released. He gets released out of prison, and he's knocking at the door of the house church where he is, you know, they're praying for him to be released, and they can't believe it, and they say something really bizarre. They say, maybe it's his angel. And I thought to myself, and someone taught on this, and I was like, this is wild. And they basically were saying that in the New Testament church, that angels were so prevalent and people saw angels so prevalently that instead of it being the answer to the prayer that they were praying, they actually thought it was his angel. And I thought, what are we doing wrong?
Fair.
That this is in our everyday existence, right? That this is in our spiritual reality. And so I began to become really hungry to see into the spiritual realm. And this is a type of prophetic gifting called seer gifting. And various people have it. And it's becoming more and more spoken about and well known. And it's prolific throughout the Bible as well. And so I just began to pray. I said, Lord, I want to see angels. I want to comprehend spiritual realities in a better way. And so over the years, I began to cultivate sensitivity to atmospheric changes in a room. If I feel the love of God really strongly, I ask the Lord to open my eyes so that I can see what he's doing in the room. Everyone's felt the love of God, right? Most everyone, if you've had any, you know, even if you've not had on any supernatural experiences, you may have felt the love of God. And that's where I would start, is the moment you feel the love of God for yourself or in the room, ask the Lord to open your spiritual eyes. And so I began to cultivate that. And I began to recognize people's guardian angels. And that was probably the first of it, is I began to see people, you know, their guardian angels. I'd see them ministering over them. I'd see them standing near them. A lot of times I would see the angel kind of mimic their personality, which is kind of funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's just part of what guardian angels do, is they they really love and care for the person that they're sent to guard. There's nothing begrudging about their role as guardians over this person that the Lord has sent them to be a guardian angel. So they tend to mimic their expressions or out of good nature, like we'll make fun or, you know what I'm saying? Not in a bad way, but in a good natured way. And so, you know, one of the elders in our ministry, he was in a service recently, and I was noticing his guardian angel had his arms crossed just the same way and his legs crossed just the same exact way as he was sitting. And I thought, you know, it's just like a married couple. You know what I'm saying? A married couple will begin to imitate each other's expressions or mannerisms over years. And I think that's what happens with you guys too, right? Me and my husband.
We're not
well.
A married couple, but so. Yes, we picked up each other's phraseologies.
I used to never say the word fair constantly, but now I do.
Fair. I
wonder where that came from. Oh,
absolutely. So I just began to pick up on these things, and you do have to have a heart of a child. I will say that Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not see the kingdom of God. And I believe that you have to have you have to ask the Lord to restore to you childlike innocence, a faith to believe that the Lord's going to answer this prayer, that he'll help you see into the spiritual realm. And so, to get back to the point, I'm trying not to brush over it this time for you, Daniel, but
thank you.
Because I had cultivated that sensitivity over the years, what had happened was I was in town, my hometown now, but it wasn't my hometown at the time. I was living down in Redding, California. And I had been asked to come up to Southern Oregon, where we have our ministry, to speak to Aglow. And they had had me up in a hotel room. And what had happened was the angel over the city of Grants Pass, which is where I'm at, the angel over the city of Grants Pass came into my hotel room and began from 2 a.m. till about 5 a.m. It was about sunrise. He began to recite the promises over the region. These were prophetic promises that prophets had spoken over the region. It took him 3, maybe 4 hours to recite all the promises over the region. And the whole time I just was in awe, because when he said it, I would envision which prophet said it. I could see when it had been spoken and when it had been planted. See, we say these words like a seed planted, but that's really what a prophetic word is. It's spiritual currency. If you can think of it, a prophetic word is spiritual currency. It's how we know what the Lord wants to do. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelations 19:10. And so, when the prophetic words of the Lord go forth, the Lord wants them to produce fruit. And so this angel came into my hotel room and recited all these promises. And then at the end, he just looked at me with these eyes that were very intense and said to me, "Who will steward these promises?" And then he was gone. And so, and to answer your question, what did he look like? He looked larger than an average male, I guess. And people were like, "Oh, are they gender?" You know, it's hard to say. I don't know. I guess I don't really notice. What I notice, and I think this is the point, angels carry messages. They're messengers, right? They carry messages, and they carry the function of heaven. Their job is to release something from heaven into the earth. And so what really is their function is really more important than their looks. But if I were to say what he looked like a large shining man. and that's kind of, you know, pretty typical for me when I see an angel is bright and large and shining. But just for the listener's sake to understand, you also have to test them, you know, and I've learned through trial and error to test, not just by the appearance of it, but by the spirit of it. A lot of times we get deceived by things, by looking at things with our eyes, even our spiritual eyes. We have to be able to recognize within ourselves. We have to discern, is this is this being from the Lord or is it not from the Lord? And First John says that we test the spirits, right? We need to test them to make sure that they are from the Lord. And so, otherwise you can be very easily deceived. So I want to make sure that we, you know, cover that point as well. So
what's the process look like for you when you're testing the spirits?
For me, I don't let my natural or my spiritual senses tell me something, because it says that the enemy comes as an angel of light, right? And so I can't just be, oh, it's light, and so it's good. You can't do that. You have to feel inside of yourself, is this being carry love? Does it feel carry joy? Does it carry, do I feel at peace? And you may even feel fear. Okay. A lot of times in scripture, you see, angels have to say to people, fear not, right? There's this kind of urgency to get over kind of that, or like maybe surprise that you may be feeling or seeing it. But, what you need to get to at the heart of it, is it carrying something that feels like Jesus? Is it feel like the kingdom of God, or does it feel icky? Does it feel, like maybe there's fear, like unnatural fear attached to it, right? Not godly fear, but like the kinds of fear, like I'm scared right now. Is that helpful, or do you need more?
I think that's helpful. I know that passage in First John, what was it? They have to attest that Christ is Lord. I can't remember right off the top of my head what that passage exactly says. But yeah, I think that is helpful. Just spiritual discernment and being so familiar with the authentic. It's that old adage of like how they teach bank tellers to detect a counterfeit, is they're so used to handling the real that when a counterfeit comes through, they can just tell by the feel of it that this doesn't crinkle just right. This doesn't feel, something about this just feels off. So spending time in the secret place, in the quiet place, dwelling in the presence of God, you do that enough. And then when something walks into the room with you that's shiny, I suppose you're going to be able to pick up and detect. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. And I think what you're saying is absolutely right on. And I had a witch astral project into my room when I first started ministry here in Southern Oregon and into my house. And that experience was interesting in the sense that they appeared as like a, this is going to sound odd, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. They appeared like one of those Catholic statues of Jesus. And they were trying to trick me. This witch was trying to trick me by astral projecting as looking like one of those kind of Catholic, kind of like the sickly looking Jesus statues that you see or whatever. And so I think that's what I want to point out, is that, and in that moment I was able to see, like, this is a person astral projecting. I just moved into the house, so I hadn't done all my, you know, spiritual house cleaning yet. Oh, yeah. And so I was able to bind this person from being able to enter again. But I do find it very interesting that they were trying to trick me by appearing like Jesus, but I could feel that it wasn't, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, we know what the presence of the Lord feels like. And if Jesus came into my room, that's not what he feels like. And so I think it's important not to be tricked by your eyes, not to be tricked by your like senses in that way, but to know in your spirit, this is what Jesus feels like. This is what the kingdom of God feels like. So that even when the enemy tries to trick us, which he does, unfortunately, we are able to discern what's happening. And so we can respond correctly.
I found myself going back to the third grade, as you were saying all of that, Angela. I was making a Venn diagram in my mind. On the bad side, of course, it was the yucky, the icky. The good side, you know, that peace that you know, that love from the Father. And then there in the middle, shiny. Don't always trust it. Not always good.
Yep. That's a good way of putting it. Yes.
Wow. So this is something that you've developed over time. And again, you said this is something that more and more believers now, mostly in the charismatic circles, are, you know, coming awake to the fact that there are people that are seers, seer prophets. How often are these kind of occurrences happening for you? How often are you seeing into the spirit realm? Is it something that you have to surrender to, or is it something that just kind of pops off when you aren't even thinking about it?
Yeah. For me, it's something I surrender to. I know people who are like grocery shopping and they're like navigating between, you know, walking around people and walking around angels. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not one of those people. I think for me, it's like for instance, I was teaching in class the other day, and as I was teaching in class, I noticed one of our students' guardian angels. I could see their guardian angel, and I was just in the spirit at that moment. You know what I'm saying? And so I was surrendering to what the Lord was doing in the room, and just yielding to it. Now there are moments where I'll be in a grocery store and the Lord will be like, I want you to see what's happening spiritually in this situation. But it's not, I'm not what I consider like a natural seer. You know, some people come out of the womb and they see. You know, they see it. And I actually prefer that I had to grow into it, because I think it's more approachable for most people to realize like, this is something that you can grow into, something you can cultivate. It's something you can steward over your lifetime so that you're increasing in it. Right. And it's just not something that's just naturally comes to you. Right. And so for those of you who are interested listening, you know, I would just say it begins with just saying, Lord, I want to yield to this. I want to learn more about how your kingdom is interacting with this world, and allow him to begin to show you how he does that. So.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. Wow.
I totally respect what you said though, like having to walk in the gift and learn it as you go. I instantly equated it to myself and my wife. I am not the best shot in the world with a gun. It took time and effort. My wife picks up a gun and just, it's effortless. And so I totally get what you mean though with things of the spirit, because there's almost a little bit, I hate to say that people don't appreciate it, but there's almost more of an appreciation because you spent the time, you really had to hone it and the sensitivity grew. And I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. 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 I think it helps because I teach people this stuff now. And I think it helps because it didn't come to me naturally. I can share with them, like, these are the little steps that I took along the way to learn, you know. And I mean, I could share with your listeners too, just like some of the things I'll do is if I'm in a room in the spirit, I'll just say, Lord, will you open my eyes to show me what's going on in the spirit in this room right now? We've all been in those, you know, worship services where we can just really feel like something's going on in the atmosphere, and take advantage of those times and just ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to see of what's happening. And another thing I do is if I see things out of the corner of my eye, you know how we have that? Like, everybody has that happen. Like, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. And if I turn and I look and I don't see anything there, I say, Lord, help me see what you wanted me to see. And that is my number one way of seeing into the spirit, is that I don't let those situations pass me by. If I see something out of the corner of my eye and then I turn and nothing's there, then I know that something in the spirit's trying to catch my eye, right? And so the Lord opens up my eyes every single time. He's so faithful to me. He'll open up my spiritual eyes so I can see what he wants me to see there. And there's this really beautifully hidden verse in Hebrews 5. It says that those with continual practice have discerned what is good and what is evil. And I was like, whoa, this is discernment, is continually practicing what is good and what is evil. So I'm constantly being given opportunities to practice spiritual gifts, right? And so I don't let even those kinds of things pass me by. I take advantage of them.
And I'm sure that the answer to this is yes, but in the beginnings, or even maybe now, do you still have to fight? I don't know if it's cognitive dissonance or if it's just that inner voice that's telling you you're crazy. You're just making these things up. Like, this is not real. Cause that's, I know when I have began seeing things in the spirit, and it's easy to start stepping into being dismissive of it. What was that journey like for you?
Yeah, no, it's a really great question. For me, I just had to keep coming back to that verse that I mentioned earlier, that unless you become like a child, you won't be able to understand the kingdom of God. And so it's just this childlike faith that I am praying for something that the Lord wants to answer, and He is answering it. And so a lot of times, if I go into that place of, well, maybe I'm crazy, or maybe I didn't really see something like that, I'll just put it before the Lord and be like, Lord, this is just natural. We're just like this. You know what I'm saying? It's not a sin. It's just what happens. Would you please tell me the truth in this situation? Am I seeing correctly, or am I not seeing correctly? I want to discern what is real. I don't want to discern anything that is not. And then He kind of walks me through it, and He shows me, well, this is what happened with your faith in this moment. You know, kind of like Peter walking on water. You know, there was a moment where he had that exact same thing where he's like, I'm walking on water. Oh my goodness. And he begins to sink, right? It's those moments of sinking that we just turn our eyes back to the Lord and say, Lord, help me know what you want me to know in this situation. And if I'm not seeing correctly, I want to know that as much as if I am seeing correctly. And He began to show me over time how to kind of navigate that kind of doubt that comes in, and all these different things that come in, so that I can have more confidence. And I think everyone needs to go through that process. If you're learning to see in the spirit realm, just going through that process of just speaking with the Lord about what He wants to show you, and just letting your heart be humble. Because when our hearts become prideful, we're going to see what we want to see, right? Mm. So Lord, even show me if there's something in my heart that needs to be addressed.
Mm. It's almost like everything else in this whole kingdom dynamic is that everything He does draws us into deeper relationship with Him. And that's the whole point, is that you discern things and you learn things by virtue of relationship and bringing it back to Him.
Absolutely.
Father, am I seeing right?
Right on, bro.
Absolutely.
Angela, so staying in this vein, I don't want to leave a group of people who could be listening out. I don't like leaving people out. And this might be a little bit of a direct question, but there could be people listening, and I'd be willing to bet there's a few who are going, you know, you guys are nuts. You know, you guys are talking about seeing angels. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a much younger version of myself who could have been listening to this a couple of years ago and would be saying the same thing. However, spiritual encounters are real, and they're permanent once you experience them. But to those people who are listening going, I don't know that you guys are even sane right now, or, you know, I know Jesus, He's Lord of my life, but talking about encountering angels, could you speak directly to them for a moment just about these thoughts that or doubts even that could be going through their minds?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'll talk from my own experience. For the longest time, I was like, I don't really understand why angels even exist. And I asked the Lord this question because I'm like, you're omnipotent. You can do whatever you want. Like, I don't even understand why angels exist. And so, well, I'll even start from there. That's where I started. You know, it didn't make any sense to me why this all-powerful God had created angels to send messages when He has His Holy Spirit. He has the Bible. He has all these different ways He could speak to us. But then He also created angels that we see clearly in the Bible, right? If we're going to believe in the Bible. Which I do. And so, the Bible has to dictate my experience. My experience shouldn't dictate what I believe about the Bible. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I want my experience to be as closely parallel to the Bible as possible. I don't want my experience to dictate to me what I believe about the Bible. And so, if I'm not having experiences that people in the Bible did have, what do I need to do to begin to move towards that? And so what I saw throughout the Bible was that people constantly were having experiences with angels. We begin seeing it initially, I think it's in Genesis 26, when the angels come to Abraham as plain dressed men, right? Abraham knew they were angels, but they looked like men. He had them for a meal, and they began to talk to him about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we know this story of these angels that came, right? In Hebrews, it says, be careful when you're entertaining strangers, because you could be entertaining angels unaware, right? And so I was reading these things and I was like, I don't want to be that person who accidentally doesn't do the right thing towards an angel that's coming and is being sent my way. Like, I want to accurately handle that kind of experience. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if A, I live my life authentically as closely as possible to the Bible as possible, and keep moving towards that. It's an ever increasing line, right? I will never, even in heaven, I think that I'll be continually learning how to live my life fully as closely to the Bible as possible, as Jesus as the Word, right? So I don't want my experience of either not seeing angels or seeing angels or seeing the supernatural, not seeing the supernatural, to dictate to me what's real about the spiritual realm. I want the Bible to tell me how I should be living my life. And so that was the premise that I started from, was that I let's be honest, I was like, fear of missing out, FOMO, right? I didn't want to miss out on what the Lord was doing in my everyday life. I wanted, you know, I was the kind of kid that grew up reading Chronicles of Narnia and Alice in Wonderland. I wanted wonder in my life. And I think we've lost that, particularly as Americans. We have lost our wonder and we've lost our childlikeness, and the kingdom of God is full of it. And so if I want to be aligned with that kingdom, I need to have a heart of wonder. And I need to be open to have the same experiences that the people in the Bible have had. And so that would be my baseline for anyone who's questioning this stuff, is maybe life is supposed to be so much more interesting and fascinating and incredible and wonder filled than we've made it into. And maybe it's our culture that has dulled us and made us not interested in the supernatural and made us think that we're crazy for being interested in these things, and not the kingdom of God that's within us. The kingdom of God that's within us is so awesome and so wonder filled that I want to live my life in that wonder. I want to be, you know, Peter the High King or Susan the High Queen of Narnia. Like, I don't want to be just, you know, average Joe. I want supernatural encounters in my life. And the more I've pursued them, the more the Lord has answered that. And I've pursued Him, right? And by pursuing Him who's supernatural, He who is supernatural has made me desire the supernatural, so that my life is not mundane. It's wonder filled.
Does anyone else here in Oregon? Because that will preach. Thank you for that answer. Oh my goodness. I metaphorically threw my shoe a little bit ago because I can't reach it under the table. Oh, thank you for that. And dear listener, take that spiritual check to the bank. And if you still aren't convinced, you can reach us at litdpod@gmail.com, and we will forward all emails to Angela.
I love it.
Do you have any kind of online portal to your teachings, or a website or anything where the prophetic school that you're leading, any of those teachings are available?
Yeah. I can give you guys those links for the show notes or whatever. But it's just my name, angelamir.com. And, that would lead you to my ministry and everything else as well. So
sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Angela.
Yes.
Our new friend and sister in Christ. I have been getting a little poke this entire time we have been talking from the Holy Ghost, and it's essentially to ask you to talk about how He talks to you and the different ways that He talks to you. Now, we have covered the fact that it is through visitations by angels, and that is awesome,
really awesome and a great place to start. What other ways does the Lord talk to you?
One of the best places that the Lord speaks to me, and maybe this is going to sound, I don't know, I hope it does sound this way. I hope it sounds like normal, is the Word. I'm a theology student. I've studied the Word my entire life, and I am I'm getting a PhD student. So, I'm really into the Word. But here's the thing, like, I don't think people know how to hear God's voice through the Word most of the time. And in fact, it's a class I teach in our prophetic school, is that the word is supposed to be read slowly and with a lot of thought. And in our culture, we've taught people to read through the Bible in a year or all of these things. And what happens is it's very difficult to hear the Lord's voice if we're trying to make check marks, right? When I began to throw all of that away and I began to say, because what Moses said to the Israelites is meditate on the Word day and night. Meditate on it. In other words, meditation, not in like an Eastern context. I'm not talking about that, even though that was an Eastern context when he said it. meditation is this idea of I'm chewing it over. I'm thinking about it. I'm letting it really sink in and get deeply in me. And this is a practice that our spiritual fathers, like the Celtic saints and the desert fathers, they all read the Bible slowly. They let it roll over them. They thought about what it meant. And from that experience of slowing down, like I don't even read the Bible. I read a book of the Bible every year. That's what I do now. I've read through the Bible many times, but now I just read one book of the Bible per year that the Lord tells me to read. So 3 years ago, I was in the book of Joshua. I couldn't get through Joshua 6 by the end of the year. That's how slowly I read the Bible. And sometimes it will be just one word that just pops out to me. And I have to deeply study it. You know, these tools are available for everybody now to study the Greek and the Hebrew of a word. And I'll just deep dive. And out of that, the Lord speaks to me and he talks to me about my life and he talks to me about how to align my life with the kingdom of heaven. Like I said earlier, I don't want my life to be aligned with my own experience. I want my experience to align with the Bible. I want it to align with the kingdom of heaven. And so, the Lord uses the Bible to really speak to me and to draw me into understanding what needs to change in me and what he's working on and also how he loves me and all of the other, excellent stuff of having a relationship with Jesus. And so, that's my favorite way. Just because it's always surprising to me that I could be reading four words and it just blows my mind. For God so loved, like he so loved the world, you know, like I could spend hours on that, just meditating on what that means. And I think, what I would say is if hearing God's voice, it means slowing down. It means shutting off the things that would distract you and allowing him to really speak to you, just like you would with your husband or your wife or anyone who's significant to you. You let them know in conversation that you're really there. You're really listening, right? That's love, right? That's relationship. And so I do the same thing with Jesus. And I let him say what he needs to say to me. And I also let him share with me what is burdening his heart. I think we forget about this sometimes, is that Jesus is a man who showed on earth that he carries all the same emotions that we carry, and he's burdened by things sometimes. And so sometimes in prayer, I'll go to prayer and someone that I have never met, a vision of them will pop up in my heart, right? A person, and they're in these dire circumstances. I don't know who this person is, but they're on Jesus's heart. And so I get to pray for them because he is burdened for them. And this is part of my relationship. It's the same thing if my best friend is going through a health condition that's really challenging, I want to be there for that person. I want to know how to bear their burdens. And I do the same thing with Jesus. I want to be his friend. And if someone's on his heart who's going through a hard time, I want to be there with him in that place.
I definitely want to speak to two of the points you made, because I'm definitely tracking with you. And you talked about, and in Western culture, it's like we've lost the wonder. And I have also been guilty of getting almost in like that checklist in the past of, okay, did I pray today? Did I read my word? Did I listen to a couple of Christian podcasts? And I remember it was maybe this time last year, my spiritual mother was talking to me, and she just told me, she said, we have gotten in this quantity over quality mindset, because we're caught almost in this crazy cycle of just, okay. But she's like, if we take control of our time, if we slow it down, and then we have these awesome moments in the word, you know, we catch what the Father's trying to say to us. And it's like when you were talking about, you spent a year in the book of the Bible. Like I'm just tracking with that so strongly, because that's been something he's been talking to me about lately, is slow it down, stay there, read it again.
Mm.
Now just get quiet. And I just think that's good. That's a nugget, everybody. That's a nugget.
Yeah. It's really helped me memorize scripture better too. And I'm not even doing it intentionally. It's just that I'm on a verse for so long that it just gets in me. And I find it coming out in, you know, that I've memorized it. Like as I'm teaching or whatever, it comes out. I'm like, oh, I didn't even intentionally memorize that. It just came out of me because I've been meditating on scripture. Right. So it's definitely, I think, a lost art with us, in the Western world. So yeah, very exciting.
Beautiful. Now, I'm going to backtrack it a little bit myself. Earlier, you mentioned a witch astral projecting into your house. Is this something that you come against very often, like spiritual warfare, the demonic realm being confronted and attacked and having to have your armor on and fight these kind of things?
I would say I typically... listen, I'm a child of God, so I hope this doesn't come across as arrogant, but I am a child of God, and that kind of stuff doesn't fly with me, right? So with this particular situation that happened, it happened once and it didn't happen again, right? I put up the spiritual parameters. I'm a child of God. My house and my home is a place of peace. It's a place where Jesus and me and my family get to exist in peace. That is a no-go, no-fly zone for me. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really let those kinds of things fly. Like I said, it happened once and I didn't let it happen again. But I will say that, you know, the more that I've got, like, the more the Lord's opened doors of ministry for me, the more that there's been spiritual warfare that I've had to kind of handle. But I don't like to focus too much on it. I more like to focus on the Lord and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What is it that you want me to know? We recently had a situation where a prophetic voice in our congregation was seeing that a principality is trying to bring disgruntledness into our ministry. And the best way to handle something like that is to say, Lord, teach us how to love better, right? Like, we don't want to be disgruntled people. You know what I'm saying? Teach us to love better. And so with that kind of insight, because that's what happens, is you get this kind of insight. I just see it as like, how do I become the best offensive Christian out there? Well, I find out what the strategies of the enemy are, and I don't camp there. I figure out what's the best way to be offensive. If the enemy is trying to bring disgruntledness, I need to bring love. You know, I need to have my words be filled with love and filled with praise and filled with worship and my conversation with other people being filled with fruitfulness, right? And so, we just began to pray those kinds of things into our congregation, and we began to see an increase of worship filled words. And that's, you know, that's, you know, how we, like you said, weaponize our testimony is by, this is insight, like spies in the land. We're getting insight from the enemy, about what the enemy's trying to do. Well, the best thing to do is to camp into the Lord's army and what he wants us to do to combat it and not really concentrate too much other than this is intel, right?
So, that's good.
I try not to camp too much on that because it's just, you know, your listeners know this too. Like it can be a real quick, way to become focused on the wrong things. So.
I know you just said you don't like to focus on those things, Angela, so please don't think I am being a punk, although sometimes
no
I
problem.
Can be. But I kind of want to piggyback a little bit off what Corey was saying here. So we've talked about the fact that the Lord definitely like lets you see into the spirit realm at times, for sure. Like we've covered that. But when that happens, I am curious, is it always for angelic things, or occasionally do you see someone who's being demonically oppressed? Like, can you physically see the demon that is tormenting them? Are they ever around them? You know, I'm just curious if that's something he also reveals to you to show you how to then minister to an individual. And again,
absolutely.
Sorry to stay camped there, but it feels important.
No, I think it is important. For me, like I typically will see the demonic and how the demonic is perhaps tormenting people, particularly when it comes to healing, because I pray for people and they get healed. And oftentimes the Lord will show me, well, they're having this back problem because this demon is sitting on their back and tormenting them by sitting on their back. And so what it does is it shows me how to pray effectively. Okay. Cause if I'm praying healing and I think it's a torn disc or something like that, and it's actually a demon that's sitting and tormenting them, then I can effectively pray that the Lord would, release them from this tormentor and that they would be healed. And I think, honestly, I see more healings because I see the demonic on people and release them from the demonic than I see healings that are like, natural things that I pray and they get healed. You know, I see both, but it's mainly I see in the spirit realm of where the enemy is trying to torment them. And I'm able to bind that and cast it off, so that the person's no longer tormented. So we have a pretty documented history of people being healed in our ministry. And I would say probably 75% of the time it's demonic torment that they've been released from rather than a physical infirmity that they've been healed from. So, it can happen both ways, but this just happens to be the way my gifting works. So.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah. We had guests come on that said that like they're missionaries, and I think it's been a while, but I think their verbiage was something like, you know, not every infirmity you see is, you know, a devil manifesting, but every one of them is enforced by the devil. So treat them as such.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
Absolutely.
Shirt. I would wear it.
You know, I have written down something that I wanted to share. Is it okay if I share some angelic encounters that I've had?
Go for
other
it.
Other angelic encounters?
Oh, all right. You twisted our
arm. I feel like it's the right time. So I mentioned this earlier about the verse that says, be careful when you entertain strangers, because sometimes you entertain angels unaware. And when I read that verse, I began praying into it, and I said, Lord, would you show me when I'm interacting with angels and I don't know it? You know, there's this meme going around, and I think it's hilarious, but I'm sure you guys have seen it like on Facebook or on social media, TikTok, whatever, of the one where they say a biblically accurate angel, and it's like some thing with lots of eyes on it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's hilarious, right? I think it's really funny. But really, we see throughout scriptures that angels show up in a wide variety of ways. In Genesis, they show up as just three people, three guys who are walking down the road, and they come to Abraham, right? And they're coming to talk to him about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they just look like everyday people. And then in Hebrews, it says you could be entertaining angels unaware, meaning they could be just the guy that you just saw down at Walmart, you know, whatever. They could be an angel. And so, there are different types of angels look different. And sometimes when they come and they're appearing as human, they're going to look like a human, right? And sometimes they purposely hide themselves behind things that you wouldn't normally look for. And so I began to pray one day and I said, Lord, I really want to know when I'm entertaining angels. Would you let me know? And I was ministering up in British Columbia, Canada, and I was talking with this guy on the street, and he was homeless and he was on the street. And it was one of the most fascinating conversations I had ever had, because this guy was so full of light, so full of joy. And as I was talking with him, some of my friends started to crowd around him, and you could tell that he was wanting to, he was done talking, and he kind of like, I don't know how else to explain it, but with that big of a crowd, he was able to like slip out of the crowd really easily and like kind of go down the street without us like asking him more questions or whatever. And I was like, well, what is that? What was that, Lord? That was such an interesting encounter. And the Lord began asking me questions. He said, tell me what was interesting about it. And I said, well, that homeless guy was more full of joy than I am. Like, that guy has so much joy, so much light coming out of him. And he said, okay, well, tell me more. And I said, I don't know how he physically got away from us the way he did. Like, it was almost like, you guys already know that verse where it says that Jesus slipped through the crowd. It was almost like he had done that. He had just like slipped through us, and was, next thing I know, he was all the way down the block and, you know, was waving goodbye to us. And the Lord said, you had asked on this trip to entertain angels unaware, and this was an angel. And I was like, you're kidding me, because he appeared as a homeless man, you know? And so that was my first encounter where I was like, well, that was interesting. It just felt like a learning encounter. Does that make sense? Like, the Lord was trying to teach me something. And so, I've had two other experiences like this where, I've entertained angels, and one of them was at my gym. So of course I wasn't looking for an angel, right? I was at the gym. And I was actually in the hot tub with a whole bunch of people, because I just got done swimming. I was in the hot tub, and this pregnant lady came over, and she was getting in and out of this hot tub in a way that pregnant women should not be able to get in and out of a hot tub. And she had a inner glow that was amazing. And she began to talk about that she was pregnant with twins, and she was very, very, very pregnant. And she was pregnant with twins, and all of the stuff that she had to say ended up being a prophetic message to me. I'm like, and the Lord began to speak to me, and then I never saw her again. It was a very small, like, gym, you know, and to never see her again. And the Lord began to speak to me out of all the things that she had said to those of us who were in the hot tub, about a prophetic word about what the Lord was doing in my ministry, about my ministry being pregnant with twins, right? Being pregnant with, a double blessing. And he began to speak to me out of what she was saying. And the Lord said, did you notice that she had the same inner glow as that homeless guy did the first time, with all that joy and that inner glow? Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my goodness, she did. And so, and her whole story became to me a prophetic message, right? What are angels? They're messengers. And so it became a message to me about, what the Lord was speaking to me about my ministry at the time. And, the third time it happened was, again, a homeless man. And in this situation, I was teaching, and he walked into our classroom and just sat down and said, is it okay if I listen to your preaching? And I said, well, sure. And so he sat down, and we were talking about, you know, the prophetic, because it's a prophetic school. And at the end, he came over and he said, I want to let you know that your church is like the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. And I know the Lord is very pleased with you guys. And he walked out the door, and he had the same joy and the same inner light, and we never saw him again. And I read, you know, the Church of Philadelphia, which is your you're small, but the Lord's about to put an open door before you that no one can shut. And it was just this beautiful encouragement. And I think, what we need to understand is that when we're entertaining angels unaware, you may or may not be able to understand that they're angels. They may be people, and that's okay. But if they're an angel, they have a message. They're prophetically releasing something to you to encourage you, to strengthen you, to minister over you. And so sometimes we're entertaining angels unaware, but I will say they've all had the same kind of inner glow, the same kind of joy that's way, way abounding, that I've always noticed with all three of those situations.
So this might sound kind of silly, but I remembered something I haven't thought of in a long, long time while you were telling that story. So me and my buddy Sam one time were at a Wendy's and we couldn't get the employees to turn around. They were in the back in the kitchen, and nothing against Wendy's. We were there because we liked it, but they just wouldn't turn around. And we don't remember the door opening to come into the dining room. We don't remember her walking up behind us, but there was this older woman. And she was so kind, and she smiled at us, and she leaned on the counter, and she said, what are you trying to get, boys? And we were just like, we're trying to get some sauce packets for our nuggets. They didn't put them in the bag, and we've got to get to church. And I'll never forget. She was just like, hey, and everybody stopped, turned around. These boys need some sauce packets. Now, again, I'm going somewhere, I promise. And so we're happy because they come up, we get, you know, tons of barbecue sauce and whatnot. And we're all excited, but she's gone. And, you know, not to sound corny, but we're waiting on a big Buick to come rolling around the Wendy's and thinking that's her, you know, or see her walking to a car in the parking lot. But we never did. And I'll never forget in that moment, we looked at each other and he took the words out of my mouth. He's like, bro, did an angel just help us get sauce packets? But the point was, we were trying to set up a youth conference at that time for our church. And we were having so much trouble because we were really just kind of wanting things to fall into place. And we walked away from that going, we have to ask. We have to be a little bolder. And the next thing you know, we had not because we'd asked not. You know, it's crazy. You knock on a door, it gets opened. And then all these things started falling into place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I forgot about the Wendy's angel.
The Wendy's angel. I love it. And it's always that kind of thing. It's like, I wouldn't expect an angel to show up pregnant. I wouldn't expect them to be homeless. Like all of these different things are homeless looking, homeless appearing, whatever the words are these days. and yet the Lord uses these kinds of situations to teach us. I think it's more important than ever to teach us not to rely on our own natural senses, to learn to depend upon what we're picking up in the Spirit. Paul puts it this way, know each other according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And we need to know how to do that in all circumstances, to pick things up in the Spirit, not what we're seeing with our eyes, but what the Spirit is showing us, so that we are, we're not caught off guard. You know what I'm saying? We're able to ascertain what the Lord's doing. And I love this story, Daniel, because what you're showing us is that, that whole situation set it up for you to recognize, like, the Lord's bringing us into a place where he's wanting us to be bolder about our asking. And, there's always messages attached to it, right? When we're entertaining angels unaware, there's messages that the Lord wants us to get. I love it.
I agree. And, you know, it's always something, you know, at first we're just like, how about that? You know, Jesus wanted us to have sauce for our nuggets, but it's like, no, if you'll zoom out just a little bit more, there's usually something bigger going on than just what's in the to-go bag.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Come on, I've never heard that story.
Because, bro, it just rose up. If Sam listens to this, he's going to go nuts. I bet you he forgot about the Wendy's angel too. Ugh. I'm so happy I forgot about that. Makes you wonder what else you forgot.
Now, I do have another question to steer our conversation, but if you have more encounters written down or anything you want to share, feel free to go ahead and take it away.
Okay. No, go for it. You ask your question. We'll see if these come up.
So earlier you just offhandedly made the comment, no junior Holy Spirit. And it just stuck out to me when you said it. And you are facilitating a prophetic school. You're shepherding this prophetic school. And you're right. There truly is no junior Holy Spirit. What have you seen in the lives of children in terms of the prophetic, in terms of the seer realm? Have you had children in your fellowship start hearing the voice of God? And do you have any practical or, you know, testimonies or individual stories of things that you've seen the Lord minister through children?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have a children's prophetic school every summer. So I grew up going to Vacation Bible School, and I thought, well, man, we need to have a children's prophetic school. And so we had one last summer, and it was so exciting just to teach kids that they can hear God for themselves in the midst of whatever they're going through. And we had, I would say, of like, we had quite a few kids there, and I would say something like 80% of them were going through major life things. Not just for kids, but just in general, like divorces and, you know, homelessness and a whole bunch of just challenging things. And it was so exciting to be able to help them not just like realize that God wanted to be there for them in these hard things, but that they had him in them. And because Jesus was in them, they could be comforted by him at any moment. They could hear from him at any moment. And for them, for that light bulb came on, first of all, so much faster than adults. So much easier to teach kids how to hear God's voice. Because they're already pretty wired, you know, to hear in the realm of the spirit. And so, it was just awesome. We had this incredible experience with, we had a boy whose father is not in the picture, and, he was really struggling. He would go up to a lot of the men in the congregation and just like punch them, like, out of the blue. And the men were like, what's going on? And the Lord had me pray for this little boy and pray that the spirit of fatherlessness would come off of him. And literally, I'm not joking, within that moment that he became gentle and sweet natured, and and there was just joy that came over him. And he began to hear from the Father God in heaven as his own father. And it began to speak into that wound in his heart of fatherlessness. And, you know, to this day, my husband says to me, you know, he has not punched me once ever since he ever since then, you know, you know, he was just acting out some, you know, trauma that he had gone through. And so, it's really incredible with kids that we can like work with them in this way. And even if there's children in your life who are going through really difficult things, it's even more important to bring them into knowing the voice of God, because they need Jesus in those moments more than they need even you as their parent or you as their guardian or whatever, because you may not be there on the playground when something happens, or, you know, in the middle of the night when they have a bad dream, or all of these different things. But Jesus will be there, and teaching them how to activate that has been, so joy filled. And, I just love the parents that are really making sure that their kids grow up knowing how to hear the voice of God. I think it's incredible. So.
I remember when I went on a missions trip to India, just back around 2014, I stayed with an orphanage, or children's home. And there was one little girl there that was very in tune with the voice of the spirit. And yeah, I just remember them telling me the story of her waking up in the middle of the night, going to the people that ran the children's home and saying, we have to pray for a missionary in South Korea right now. Their life is in danger. And it's like, they're in India. They don't know anybody in Korea. They don't know anything that's going on, but they just started praying. And then months later, the Lord just orchestrated it where they got to, I think, either meet this missionary or the story got relayed to them of who this specifically was. And they were able to line up the dates. And it's just like, children hear the voice of God, just like children can be tormented by the enemy, just like children can see things in their room at night that are real, even though it doesn't seem real to the adults. They can hear the voice of God. They can see angels. They can know his voice, and they can get prophetic discernment that will blow your mind.
Yes.
My sister-in-law is a children's pastor, and I remember like they did a lesson one day where it was basically just get quiet and ask the Lord a question. And just like the glow on her when she had children in her class that heard the voice of God for the first time in her class. It's like nothing can touch that.
Wow. It's incredible. It's so much fun working with kids, to activate them in hearing from the Lord. They're so much better at discernment too. They don't judge with their natural eyes as quickly as adults do. Right. And so, they're much, much better about knowing, you know, this was of God and this wasn't, you know, it's much easier to teach discernment to children. And now, you know, there's more and more people who are teaching these things to kids, and we're going to have a generation of kids growing up knowing how to discern and how to hear the voice of God. I'm so excited to see, you know, it's just amazing what's going on with like really the, you know, under 12, the Lord says, oh, it's just incredible. So
it's like you don't have to deal with the cognitive dissonance that you do with adults. It's like I this, so. Oh, that's God. I know that voice. This is what he wants me to do. It's beautiful. And you know what? The enemy gets that. You know, we don't have to get political with it, but if you can listen to the radio or watch TV, the enemy's going after children. Mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that you guys are doing it for the kingdom.
Come on.
You're helping to, you know, steer these kids in the right direction to walk in the prophetic and to know that voice and go, no, this is normal. This is every day. This is what he wants to do. He's always talking to us. He always has a word for someone. Healing needs to take place. Like, it's beautiful. I hope there's more and more churches out there doing that.
It's amazing. Come on. Come on, God.
Come on, Jesus.
it takes me back to My nephew is in church standing next to Pop and my dad. And I remember they were doing the sinner's prayer that dance service. And he reaches his little hand up and he grabs Pop's hand and he said, it's okay, Pop. I'll say it with you.
Oh, wow.
He got saved that day.
Wow.
I've never asked the question, but I always wonder, would he have said the prayer if Gavin hadn't acted on the...
Wow.
What the Holy Spirit was leading him to do.
Wow.
And I just think that, excuse me, that plays into just everything you're saying. They hear his voice. Come on. It's just so easy for them. I love it.
Man, that's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. I think, you know, to get back to my original question when we first started talking, when I started asking the Lord, like, why do you even need angels? What he began to show me was that he needed angels for the same reason he set up the world with us as players in it. He needs us too. And for some reason, this omnipotent God that we serve chooses to partner with us. And he partners with angels to get his will done, right? To cause the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, to abide within us and to help other people move towards peace and joy. And so he uses these angels. He partners with angels to bring us encouragement. Wendy's angels, pregnant angels, homeless angels. He uses these things to encourage us and to let us know that his glory, is in us knowing that he loves us and that he cares for us. And he even cares about us having these, like, I don't know, I'm having a bad day, I can't get my sauce packet, for instance, you know, like he cares about that. And he uses it as a message to us, you know, and I think for me, like that, to comprehend that required for me to recognize that I'm not God, he's God, and he's chosen to partner with angels to get his will done, just in the same way he's chosen to partner with us to get his will done. You know, sex trafficking, some of these horrific things that we're hearing about, children and the things that are happening in the world that the enemy has his hands all over. The Lord is just looking for people to partner with him to see that thing be resolved, right? And so I just love that he uses angels to get his character across to us, right? We don't worship them. I didn't bring that up, but it's important. It's like they won't, if it's a real angel though, if it's a real angel from God, they won't receive worship anyways. So, and so that's another way you can, that's test it. But, it's not something we worship. It's something that is a participatory part of being the kingdom of God. They are serving God. We're serving God. And we're just different species, right? But we're doing the same things. So.
Did you have more stories that you wanted to share? I know I took us on that little detour down the other path with no junior Holy Spirit and children, but I just wanted to make sure that everything you had prepared, we made sure got on the recording. Cause I don't know about Danny boy over here, but I'm loving this.
I honestly thought it had been like 10 minutes. And then I looked down at the roadcaster and then I remembered what we were praying before we started. And sure enough, it happened. It's been over an hour. How about that?
It's crazy it's amazing. It's so much fun to talk about, just how the Lord loves us. And he sends angels to comfort us and to minister to us and to send messages. And I think, you know, I've got a few more written down, but I'll share this one with you guys just because, it just brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it. We were ministering in, I've mentioned earlier that we have a prophetic hub in Patmos, Greece, which is where John got the book of Revelations. And we have a villa, like an Airbnb that we rent when we come to Patmos. And it has one of those rooftop terraces that's like they have all over Europe or whatever. And we were praying on this rooftop terrace it was the night before we were about to leave. And we were up there on this rooftop terrace and there was, you know, a dozen people that had gone on the trip together, and we were all praying together. And as we were praying, I was listening, and this happened with my natural ears. This didn't happen with my spiritual ears, but with my natural ears, I could hear the sound of 40 or more voices. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And I asked the Lord to open my eyes. And what had happened was that all of the angels of Patmos had come to join in with our intercession for the island of Patmos. And they had heard us praying on that rooftop and they had joined in with our intercession. And I was literally hearing the 12 of us that were there in the natural, plus another couple dozen voices of angels praying with us over the island that they had been assigned to. Right. And so, it was so loud. I don't know how else to put it. It was way louder than a dozen people should be. It was just like 40 or 50 voices. And I was hearing the sounds of these angels interceding with us and worshiping God with us. And after it was all said and done, I didn't say anything, but several other people on the group were like, did you hear how loud it got? Like, did you hear all those voices? Like, it didn't even make sense. And I was just like, thanking God, because that's one of the ways that he will like confirm, like you're hearing and sensing something correctly, is just keeping your mouth shut and hearing if any other people, you know, were picking up on it, you know. And sure enough, everyone was like, it sounded like 40 or 50 voices. It was just, and here we are on this little rooftop, you know, terrace, and there's no way that 40 or 50 people could have even been up there. And so it was just, it just is incredible. Like, again, it felt like we were participating with something that was of a different kingdom, which we are, right? We're of the kingdom of God, and angels are of the kingdom of God too. So when they heard us praying for the place that they had been assigned to, they rushed to pray with us. And it just felt like we're part of something so much bigger than what we even think it is. And it's so encouraging when the Lord opens our eyes, and in this case, our ears, to what he's doing in the spirit, because it allows us to realize that we're traveling the way that he wants us to travel. We're learning what we need to learn. We're participating in this grand, I don't know what you want, grand drama, which is humanity, and learning the glory of God as we are. And he uses angels to show us, you know, to encourage us and to strengthen us. And I just love that story because it just mm-hmm. like they get excited because we're being part of the kingdom of God as well. So
One of those Jason Upton moments right there.
Right. I know which one you're talking about.
Good stuff.
Love that song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before we go, before we punched record and we were opening up with prayer, I just, you know, I was praying over a recording and it was out loud. You guys heard it. Just kind of stumbled across the Lord releasing, I said mantles, but positions, or giving people permission to step into things that they've had little inklings of, or callings that they have been timid to step into, or embracing fuller capacity or levels of those things. So seeing as we have a wonderful prophetic person on the line here. Hallelujah. And there's two prophetic people on the other side here. I just thought maybe we would take some time and just pray about that and see if the Lord has any specific words of knowledge or anything he'd like us to share about that, because he wouldn't have stirred that with, I don't believe, without some will to make some revelation to go along with it.
I love that. I actually do have something for our listeners that I wanted to end, you know, as we begin to do this. I think it's perfect. You know, I don't know when y'all are listening to this, but we're recording this 2 days after Easter Sunday right now. And on the morning of Easter Sunday, early in the morning of Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared in my bedroom. As at first I thought it was an angel, and then I realized it was Jesus. And I realized all in the same moment that I was seeing resurrected Jesus, the Jesus that was resurrected from the dead, right? And he was standing in my doorway, and he was grinning from ear to ear, and then he was gone. And in that moment, the Lord released a message to me that I also want to release to those of you who are listening. And that is that I believe the body of Christ and many people who are not yet saved, maybe you're listening to this and you're not yet saved, that there's been times that you've been going through such darkness, right? We talk a lot about that Saturday between Jesus dying on a Friday, resurrecting on a Sunday, whether it's those days or not, but there was a day in the middle that was really dark, right? They didn't know that Jesus was about to rise from the dead. And I believe that the body of Christ, I believe a lot of people have been going through some very, very dark times where you didn't know where your life was headed. You didn't know what the Lord was about to do. But I believe that there is a resurrection coming to many people's lives where there's going to be light where it's been dark. You're going to have insight where it's been difficult to comprehend the next steps for your life. Maybe even I feel like there's certain people who have been in challenging circumstances where you're like, there is no way out of this circumstance. Like, I do not see a way out. And what I see is that there is a resurrection coming to many people's lives. This is a prophetic word that the Lord is bringing resurrection to your life, that things that felt like they were dead, done, over, the Lord is going to bring resurrection to parts of your life that he wants to resurrect, dreams that you have, ideas you have, visions you have for the future. The Lord wants to bring insight and light to that. And I believe that there's a shift in time happening, a literal shift over the body of Christ to bring you guys into a resurrection of Jesus in your life and seeing his power at work in your life. And even the light, the illumination of knowing what the next step needs to be, of knowing what the next thing is that he's calling you to do. And if you aren't saved, if you don't know Jesus, this is like, let's do it. Like, he wants to resurrect your life. He wants to bring you out of the darkness into his glorious light. And if that's you, I just welcome you to say, Jesus, I want to be your friend. Would you come into my life? And it's that simple. Like, believe on Jesus and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. Believe in him and you will be saved. And I believe that even some of you who are saved are going to experience salvation in new areas of your life, in the hearing of this, within days of hearing this. I believe that there's resurrection power coming into our lives in ways that we've not seen it before. And so, I just release that over those of you who are listening, that God is bringing resurrection power into the circumstances of your life.
Listener, if that's for you, just say, I take it. It's mine.
Received.
While you were sharing that beautiful encouragement and prophetic declaration, I believe that there's someone who is called to a school, and I don't believe that this is necessarily a student. Maybe this is a parent of a student. Maybe this is an alumnus. Maybe this is something of that nature. Maybe not. But there's someone that is called to a school, and you're supposed to take that school for the kingdom. The Lord sees you. The Lord sees what he has put in your heart. It's no mistake that he gave this assignment to you. He is individually and specifically equipped you and is in the process of equipping you to fulfill this purpose. He is going to start bringing things into your path, people of influence. He is going to start bringing like-minded intercessors, like-minded believers who will be able to partner with you in this. Don't worry about the assignment. Don't worry about the task at hand. Don't worry about all the specifics and all the details and all that stuff. Just trust on Jesus. Understand that he has been mapping this out long before he ever called you to the process, and you aren't going to mess this up. Just trust him with it and go get after it.
Beautiful.
Well, I guess let's go 3 for 3, shall we? So while my two friends and the Lord here were both talking, he dropped one on me. I normally do not get a name, so this is a first. The name that kept popping up in my spirit was Taylor. And Taylor, yeah, I can't tell you first or last name, but Taylor, he sees you as a songbird. Now, no one around you knows that you can sing, but he created you for such a purpose. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to use that voice to glorify his kingdom. And it may just start with you singing in your room, but start singing to the Father. He gave you that voice. He wants to hear that voice and take it to a platform. Maybe the next time they do tryouts at church, you use that voice, because he didn't give it to you for no reason. Okay? There are lots of birds out there, but songbirds sing specifically. So, songbird, Taylor, use that voice. Honor the Father. Never got a name before. That was cool.
So good. I feel like someone is listening who is in high school. I particularly believe you're a senior in high school. And I see you in praying and saying, Lord, I really want to make an impact in my high school. Like, I feel like you go to a secular high school. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I hear that prayer, and I'm going to give you a strategy to affect your high school. I'm going to give you a strategy that is particularly, I'm particularly aware of your strengths and weaknesses. I'm particularly aware of where you're afraid and where you're scared, but I promise you that I will come alongside of you and I will help you and I will give you a strategy to affect your high school. And I just want to pray for this person who has been, I feel like you've been praying this, like, Lord, I want to affect my high school. So I just pray for you in the name of Jesus, that that strategy is released to you, that the Lord will show you what the strategy is to affect your high school, and that that you will know the steps to take to affect your high school, a strategy that's in His heart just specifically for you. And the Lord says that not only is this is the first of many, that you're about to come into His room of strategies. He has rooms of strategies, and He wants to show you that you're supposed to come into the room of strategy over and over and over in your life, to be given strategy for knowing how to affect the earth. But this is your first step into doing this. And He says, do this one and don't aim for perfection. Aim for just trying to do it the way you're sensing it, right? Don't aim for perfection. Aim for what you're sensing I'm telling you to do. And I will be with you and I will help you, and you will affect your high school just as you have prayed to affect your high school.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing like a prophetic roundtable here at the end, huh? How about that?
And I wouldn't want to let you go, Angela, without asking you if you would be willing to just speak a blessing, an impartation, whatever phraseology you choose to use, over our listeners who may want to step into the seer realm, that may want to have their spiritual sight awakened and opened and don't even know where to start. Would you be willing or able to pray a blessing like that?
Absolutely. I would love to.
I knew it.
Lord, we just pray for everyone who's listening right now. We just release in the name of Jesus Christ the ability to perceive the spiritual realm. And we just ask in Jesus' name that you would help them to lean in to the promptings of your spirit, to not just let moments go, but to actually say, Lord, what do you want me to see? Will you help me see? And that, Lord, that you would just equip them for seeing into the spiritual realm, into hearing your voice better. I just release a mantle now. I release their mantles out of heaven now in Jesus' name, to mantle them with the ability to see into the spirit realm, to grow in their ability to see in the spirit realm, and to be able to nurture that. Lord, I just pray for sensitive hearts. I ask, Father God, that you would release the hearts of children upon them, that they would be childlike, that they would be embraced with a childlike heart from heaven, so that they can see into the spirit realm and recognize what you are doing on the earth. Lord, we just release these mantles. We release what you have as assignments, Lord Jesus. I believe that even there's some people listening that are saying in their heart, I hear someone saying in their heart, I want it, but I'm scared. And I just want to particularly speak to you. I was in the same boat. I wanted it, but I was scared. And I prayed a prayer that I saw in the Bible. And the prayer was, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So pray this with me. Lord, I'm scared, but help me not be scared. It's that simple. Just pray that. Lord, I'm scared, but help me not be scared. I want the things of your spirit. So we just pray for those who want this, but maybe they're a little scared. Lord, I just say in Jesus' name, take away the fear. Take away the fear. Help them to step into it. Give them boldness and courage to receive from you the very thing that their heart is crying out for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, that was fun.
I was about to say, this has been a good time.
Thank you so much for coming on. Just one more time, I'm also going to throw it down in the show notes, but for our listeners who don't necessarily click on the show notes, would you just repeat your website so that people can find you and your ministry?
Absolutely. So it's my name, Angela Meir, MEER.com. So it's all one, AngelaMeir.com.
It's been a privilege, Angela. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Well, dear listener, what an amazing interview with Angela, right? Like, there's no way you could have listened through that and not been taken away with just how wonderful the Lord is. I really appreciated the point she made about bringing wonder back into our lives. And I personally am challenged to start taking time and asking the Lord, what is going on right beyond where I can see? What's going on in the unseen realm? Would you open my eyes, my spiritual sight, to see what's going on? And I believe he's going to do that, not only for me, but for you, dear listener. And when he does, we would love to hear the stories and the encounters, and just let us know what the Lord's showing you. And you can do that by reaching out to us at litdpod@gmail.com.
That's litdpod@gmail.com.
litdpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, dear listeners, about our exciting announcement at the top of the show.
Patreon. Patreon, Patreon.
Patreon, Patreon.
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 I'm excited about it. And honestly, dear listener, I know you will be too. We are going to have some sick content coming your way. This was the best way we know how to start it off with Vicky and D-Dub. And I'm telling you, you're going to get something from that episode.
Part one, May the 1st.
Yeah.
2024.
I'm just still pumped. Part two is on the way.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, we love you. We thank you so much that we got to do this again with you this week. You want to hit us up? That's litdpod@gmail.com. You want to get to know us better? That's litdpod.com. And until next time, take care, y'all.
What's the craziest scenario you can imagine an angel popping up in your life with, Danny?
Well, honestly, for me, it would be like middle of the road, back road driving. I like back roads because you can do about 10, 15 over, put the brights on. But then all of a sudden, boom, something in the middle of the road that's really bright. And it's like, hey, don't be afraid and slow down. You know, and then it's like, and it's, you know, the Subaru is going to be like, an auto brake. And then when I tell everybody, it was crazy. How'd you end up in the ditch, bro? Auto braked. Raccoon.
I tell you what I would love. And that is, Angela said they come with messages, right?
Yeah.
I'd love for an angel to pop up with like a sign that says the end is near. And then off in the distance, I hear... It's the trumpet. It's the trumpet. Up in the skies, the clouds part. I see Jesus on a white horse coming down, sword coming out of his mouth. He's calling his children home.
And you heard about it from a sidewalk prophet angel.
Yes. Huh. Yes. That would be pretty cool.
So it's like, forget the horn and all that. You want to get like that 10-second heads up?
Yeah, just so I know.
I already am reading your mail here. You want to get your rapture pose ready because you don't want to be like the guy who's going up, zipping his pants, or the guy on the toilet, or, you know, you're doing
one last chance to repent. One last chance to repent. Lord, if there's anything between you and me, let's go ahead and clear this up because I'm not staying for the next 7 years. No, thank you.
Dude, let me tell you this. Like, we're being so kidding right here. But if I could get like a 10-second, like,
I know.
All right, this is really it. Everything. It's like, I will do the fastest, like all covering blood of Jesus prayer in 10 seconds that will encompass any stupid thing I've ever done.
Daniel, so how fast did you get communion in that 10 seconds? You are nowhere near grape juice or a cracker.
You do just about anything in 10 seconds if you have to, if eternity depends on it. I'm telling you. Actually, I got that in the back of the car. I could do communion with what I got in the back of the car.
That's just because you're a survival nut.
That is correct. However, I could do communion wherever I want.
Is it communion with an MRE?
There are crackers in there.
What about juice?
Abby typically has a cranberry or grape juice cocktail mix on hand because she really enjoys that. There's a chance there's like a half full bottle in the car.
That sounds bad. We live in the South. That heat, that is rancid.
I would gargle it if I could do a communion in those last 10 seconds.
That's fair.
That ain't stopping me.
Might be close to wine.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go in the rapture with a buzz.